Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. Our mission is to capture the words and wisdom of the world's elderly so that their story and legacy may last forever. Like what we're about? Then be sure to subscribe to receive instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W Podcast as well. Episode 34 of the Words of the Wise Podcast features another one of my best friend's grandparents, Rhonda Love, my friend Grace's grandma. I hope you enjoy hearing her story through her soft-spoken voice as much as I did. Without further ado, here is Rhonda Love, episode 34.
Hello, my name is Rhonda Love. I'm 71 years old. I was born in June of 1950.
Alrighty, and we're going to start off by talking about your parents. So what were your parents like?
My parents were wonderful. My mom came from a family of 10 kids, and in my dad's family, there was five. My mom stayed at home. She did not work, and my dad drove a laundry truck and delivered laundry to businesses and to people's homes that sent stuff out. Dad worked, and mom stayed home and raised six kids.
Mm-hmm. So I know that Grace was telling me that your dad would tell you about the times when his mom, so your grandma, would come home from work and was upset because she didn't have enough food to feed all five kids. So could you talk about what your dad would say about that?
Oh, my dad was a very tender-hearted man, very sentimental, and he liked to tell stories and stuff. But I do remember it would be like at Christmas time when us kids were all at home. And he would say, look how fortunate you are to have what you have. Because he said, when I was a kid, he said, I remember we were lucky if we got an orange or an apple or maybe a candy bar, you know, for Christmas. And that was it. And he said, and then there was times when, because his dad passed away early in life, he was only like 54 maybe. He said he remembered his mom worked sometimes two jobs and would come home and wouldn't have enough food for the five kids. And at some points, at different times, I think the boys then would go out hunting. You know, they lived out on the farm and they would shoot a rabbit or a squirrel or something and clean it and bring it home and grandma would fry it. And that was their supper.
Oh, wow.
You know, so times were bad, you know, and dad worked hard and it was tough back then for them. You know, we didn't have a lot of extra things, but we had lots of love.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want for anything that we didn't need, you know.
Put things into perspective of what's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, but mom, there was 10 children in her family, and her mom was a saint. Grandma Davis was just a very religious lady, and she lived by the Bible and raised all the kids like that, you know. And so I wouldn't trade that heritage for anything, you know. Mm-hmm. We were always all together, you know. Wasn't as close to my dad's mom as I was my mom's mom.
And your mom, Carrie? Yeah, so they called her Bango.
The grandkids did.
Yes. So Grace also wrote to me talking about how she really was the one who made you the woman you are today.
She was. Yeah, my mom was my best friend. And I don't think there was anything that I couldn't talk to my mom about, you know. And when other kids would be going out on the weekends, I remember staying home with mom and dad. And I know you don't remember this, but there was a show called Lawrence Welk. And they, it was like singing and dancing and that kind of stuff. And I remember watching that on Saturday nights with my mom and dad and dancing with my dad in the living room. You know, they'd be up dancing and stuff. But there was six of us kids. And I was the first girl after three boys.
Oh, wow.
So I was spoiled rotten.
I bet you were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I had daddy wrapped around my finger until until the day he died, probably. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
where did you grow up? What city?
Evansville.
You grew up in Evansville? Okay.
And you've been to my house.
Yes, I have.
And we grew up probably not even maybe a mile from where I lived.
Really?
From where I live now.
Okay.
And I've lived there 51 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 50 years, I guess. But, yeah, in Evansville, there's West Side and East Side.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always says the West Side is the best side, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I lived on the West Side of Evansville, and I don't live far now from where I grew up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was Evansville like back then compared to now?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, things have changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it is. But everybody knew one another, and you wasn't allowed to go to anybody's house or anything unless your mom knew their mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you played outside at nighttime, and you didn't have to be careful of all the things that are going on today. But,
yeah.
It was very special. I don't see me ever leaving
Evansville.
It's home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would, of course, Barn and Allie were both from Evansville. You know, they went to high school together at Wright's. And Muncie's home for them, though,
mm-hmm.
now. You know, and
yeah.
It took me a long time to realize that, you know.
Yeah.
I would have liked for them to come back to Evansville, but to know they're healthy and happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all you can ask for.
Absolutely.
Yep. So what was the typical day like in your childhood in Evansville? I know you walked to school, Grace told me, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah, we would, you know, get up and Mom would fix breakfast and we'd be off to school and you'd come home and do your homework and then you'd be outside playing, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever. Or even in the wintertime, we'd go out and bundle up and, you know, I remember back then they would even, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but I can remember my mom and her sister going and getting chickens.
Oh.
And they put them in the back of Aunt Rosie's car. And, of course, they're still alive, mm-hmm. you know. And they would bring them home, and they would kill them by wringing their necks.
Oh, gosh.
You know. And it's almost like maybe it would traumatize some people.
That was
it
just
didn't me, but I just remember. But then they would hang them on the clothesline.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and then they're fluttering around until they're dead. And then they stick them down in this boiling tub of water and pick the feathers off.
Oh, my gosh.
And then... clean the chicken and either cook it or put it in the freezer or whatever.
Wow.
But yeah.
Would they do that often?
Well, I can't really remember. I remember several times that them doing it, but I don't really remember if they did that, you know, as a routine or if that was just a couple times that somebody had some chickens they needed to get rid of or whatever. But we were always together. There was like 28 cousins, I think, on... the Davis side, which mm-hmm. was my mom's side. And so, like, we're kids now, you go to somebody's house for the weekend or something. It was, we didn't do that. It wasn't friends. It was, we were always with cousins, you know, some way. We were always playing games or board games or cards or mm-hmm. popping popcorn and watching Disney movies and crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy like today, but
just crazy stuff in that way. Yeah. So you were the fourth of six siblings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what were your two younger siblings, boys or girls?
There was a girl after me, my sister Janet, and then the youngest was another boy, Randy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And were you close with your siblings?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 1980, my youngest brother, Randy, was in a sledding accident. They were... boys being boys, mm-hmm. he had just turned 22, and him and a friend were out. It had snowed. It was in January, and they were pulling one another behind a truck on a truck hood, you know, that was slick. They were out on Coring Road, which was out on the west side of Evansville, and they had just switched. Randy had been pulling Mark, and they switched, so Mark was pulling Randy, and they, you know how they kind of go around in a circle to go faster?
Yeah.
Well, he hit a concrete bridge abutment that they had forgot that was on the corner there. And so he flew off and hit that concrete. Well, it bruised his kidneys and broke a couple ribs and broke his pelvis and some other things. And of course, they took him to the hospital. And I was working at, they took him to Deaconess, and I was working at a doctor's office on the corner, and Mom calls because the snow was real bad. Dad was working. Mother didn't drive. Said they had taken him to the hospital. Could I go over and check on him? So I did, and they were getting ready to take him to surgery. Mom and Dad got there. So they fixed his pelvis, and he was getting he had been in the hospital 17 days, I think it was, and they was getting ready to release him, and he was going to go home and going to have therapy. and he had a blood clot, and it went through his lung, and he passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was very hard.
Yeah.
That was very hard on everybody, but especially my mom.
I'm sure.
Because she left his shoes sitting at the back door for, it seems like, forever, mm-hmm. thinking he was going to come back, and we just finally, she almost grieved herself to death over that one. But and then Terry Wayne, my second oldest brother, in 88, had kidney cancer, and he passed away.
Oh,
yeah, so we've lost two of the six of us.
Wow.
So I still have two brothers left. My oldest brother, Johnny, will be 80, I guess, in January. He lives in Kentucky. And then my next brother that's still living is only 16 months older than I am.
Oh.
And they live in Lexington now.
Okay.
They've been around. He retired at Rio PS. And then my sister, Janet, actually lives in our home place where we grew up.
Really?
Daddy died in 2009, and he had just turned 90. And my sister lived there with him, so she still lives in that house.
That's kind of cool. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine somebody else living there.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's two boys left and the two girls.
And what did, I mean, I know you've lost two of your siblings.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, like, get through those times? Or, like, with the family?
It was really hard. When Randy died, it was really hard. Mother wasn't real healthy anyway. She had smoked for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And she had bronchiectasis and emphysema. And I can't remember. I don't think she was on oxygen yet when Randy passed away. But she just literally went to bed and wouldn't get up. And I remember trying to get her to go to Kmart or to Walmart or trying to get her to go someplace. And she'd just say, "Honey, I just don't feel like it today," you know. So I remember Dr. Grimm one day. I worked at Wellburn Clinic for a little bit, and I asked him about her or what to do. And he said, "Rhonda, if you don't get her out of that bed, she's going to lay there and die. She's going to lay there and grieve herself to death." And it was hard to do what I did, but I just knew that God was giving me the strength to do it, and it was something that I had to do. And so I went over and asked her if she wanted to go, and no, she didn't want to go. So I walked out of the bedroom, and I remember walking back in, and I said, "Mom, you've got five other kids and grandkids that love you and need you. You've got to get up out of that bed." I said, "Randy is gone, Mom."
Mm-hmm.
"He's not going to walk back in that back door." He was the only one that wasn't married and still lived at home.
Yeah.
And I said, "You've got to get up. He's not coming back." I said, "I love you. So when you get ready to get up, you call me." And I left. And, of course, cried all the time.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. And about 2 hours later, the phone rang, and it was her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing."
Yeah.
"To you kids." So then, and I told her, I said, "Mom, it's okay to cry. We all cry sometimes. We're all going to miss him, but he's mm-hmm. not coming back, you know."
Yeah.
So from that day on, she had her moments and she had
yeah.
her days, but she did get up.
Wow, she needed that
she
push from
you.
She
had to have that. But then when she had to, when Terry passed away, my second brother, that was 8 years later, I guess. And that just about did her in, because then she died a year later.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah, she said she just couldn't take it. She said, "You don't know what it's like to have your heart to hurt until you have to bury one of your kids."
Yeah, and she had to do two.
She buried two.
Wow.
And I know she's not the only person that's had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but still, when it's your mother, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. So it was hard, but through the grace of God, He gave us the strength to go on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that we didn't have bad times, because we did.
Everyone does,
and we
yeah.
still do.
Yeah.
You know, there's still times I wish, or mm-hmm. wonder what, or what would mm-hmm. he be like today, or something. But
yeah,
it was tough, but God gets us through it.
Mm-hmm. So a little, like, happier story.
Uh-huh.
So Grace also told me about your brother, Denny. You guys were playing outside, I guess, one time, and you bribed your...
He was always doing something.
Your mom or your grandma?
No.
Which one?
He picked... Mom had planted some hot peppers.
Yeah.
And they were along the fence line, and we were all out in the backyard doing something. And he had picked some of them, and he told me they were candy.
Uh-huh.
And he had them in his hand, and said, "Here, you want some candy?" And so, of course, I'm a little girl. I'm going to eat candy. And so I did. And they just set me on fire because they were hot peppers. So he got in trouble and got a whipping. But he got in trouble a lot of times for doing, he was just, Denny and I was probably closer than any of the rest of them when we were growing up because we were closer in age.
Uh-huh.
He was always doing something or picking on me or something, and he'd get in trouble. And he always called me a brat or later because he said, Dad likes you better than he does me. And of course, I'd say, yeah, he does.
That's funny. So then looking at your high school years, mm-hmm. what did the typical Saturday night in high school look like for you?
Well, in Evansville, there was a place called Parkway.
Okay.
And it was on the west side, of course, but it was a little drive-through thing. There was a building, and they served hamburgers and french fries and cherry Cokes and Cokes mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. But then it had a big parking lot and parking spaces. And then on each one of the parking spaces, have you ever been to the drive-in where they have the little speakers that you call? Do they have those anymore?
No, but yeah. I've seen in movies kind yeah. of what you're talking
it's
about.
It's a little square box. And okay. then you could push on that. You pull in and you could push on that box and then they would call into there and they would order your food and then they bring it. But that's where everybody hung out at.
Mm-hmm.
So you would either stay parked for hours and people would be in their cars or you'd just drive back and forth, you know, to see who was there mm-hmm. and then who was with whose girlfriend and who was doing what and all this. And then there was one a little bit further down Diamond Avenue called Frisch's. And it was the same type of place.
Okay.
So you would run from Parkway to Frisch's, you know, and that uh-huh. was the Saturday night that everybody would be at Parkway and Frisch's just driving around and seeing yeah. what's going on. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. And did you have a job growing up?
I did. I think when I was about 14, I guess, there was a nursing home up on Harmony Way. I loved old people.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job there, like just delivering trays to the patient trays and stuff, and taking the mail or something. And I worked there, I don't know, maybe a year and a half or so, mm-hmm. you know, but I like doing it, but you got attached to those little people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this is the last question in this younger year section. Obviously, we've been talking about your childhood, your high school years. What would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
Well, of course, it was probably Mom, and she would always say, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all, mm-hmm. you know. Just to care and about others and think of their feelings and treat yeah. people the way you would want them to treat you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golden rule. All right, so moving on to your career. When did you graduate high school?
1968, in June of 1968.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what did you do after you graduated from high school?
My first job was at Wellborn Clinic, just working in the medical records where I would pull chart, like patients that would have appointments and you would pull their medical charts mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then I went into, I learned medical transcription. Okay. Where the doctors would record the patients, and then you would put these plugs in your ears, and it'd be on a little tape recorder, and you would transcribe what he said. And mm-hmm. then I learned medical billing okay. from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what made you want to go into that field?
I always wanted to be a secretary. I always thought that would be fun. I played that, you know, when you were growing up, you'd always have the paper and pencils and the little desk and stuff sitting out. You'd always.
Mm-hmm.
But I just enjoyed working in an office and with other people and just kept on with that because then I worked at a couple other doctor's offices and ended up at a home care company. And on that, I was like an office manager. Then I had 4 customer service girls and 3 insurance ladies.
And is that where you ended your career?
No, they actually moved their home office up here to Indy.
Okay.
And so they were going to get rid of the customer service reps. So they had came down and we had a meeting and they told me these girls were going to lose their positions, that they were doing away with it and going to transfer it to Indianapolis. And that really upset me because one of the girls was divorced and had 2 little boys. And so it would just upset me because I knew she was going to lose her job.
Yeah.
And so on the day that they were supposed to come down, they said, Rhonda, you don't have to stay here. We'll take care of this. You know, you don't have to stay. And I said, no, those are my girls. I'm going to be there when you tell them. But they said they wanted to get together with me because I kept asking, is that going to affect me? in any way. And no, this won't affect you at all. Okay. So the day that they came down, they wanted to meet first to kind of go over what they were going to do and give them a, they were going to give them a packet, you know, pay them for a couple weeks. But anyway, so they came in and they shut the door and said, da, 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 da. And, but we have some other news. And I said, okay. Said, well, we're also going to do away with the office manager's position. And so I went.
So they went behind you.
Are you talking about me? I started this company. What are you talking about? I, you know, because when I started there, I was the only girl.
Yeah.
And then we, they had built it up. So anyway, after, yeah, I had worked there 16 years. And so they were just downsizing. It was just part of life. But that was tough.
Yeah. You know? Especially after they told you it's not going to affect you.
Yeah. That's just, you know, and I had always given 110% and I would take work home, you know, and Terry kept saying, my husband kept saying, that's not going to do you any good. You're just a number. No, no, no. It'll never happen. You know, well, it did. But then I was lucky because then I got on at the school corporation and finally retired from there. Yeah.
So do you have any favorite stories from your career? What was your favorite part about working at the two places?
Well, I think at the home care company, we did have patients that would come in to pay their bills and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you'd have these little people that, of course, they would have Medicare and a supplement. And they would get something in the mail saying that they owed this when they really didn't owe it because their supplement hadn't paid or something. And it bothered me that I felt like people took advantage of those types of people.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start my own company so that I could help these other people pay their bills and stuff and show them that they didn't have to do that. I never got to do that, but that's what I wanted. And so they would come in, it would be hard to see them want to do that. But I just loved it. I loved being around people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the school corporation, I liked it too. I paid the bills for purchasing and stuff. And we had a good group of people that we worked with. And I just enjoyed my job. I enjoyed what I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
And looking back, obviously you worked for many years. So what career advice would you give to young people like Grace and I, or anyone who are about to enter the workforce and have that first job?
I think as long as you are honest and caring, care about others' feelings, you know, and just do your best, you know, and that's all somebody can ask for. You know, if you're trying, just don't try to take advantage of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and think that, you know, you could get by with that. Just do your job and do the best that you can at that job.
Yeah. All right, so we're moving on to some more family-oriented stuff, or we're going to talk about your first marriage.
Uh-huh.
So how did you meet your first husband, Kenny?
At Parkway. we were all out there driving around one night, and he was with another friend, and I can't remember the guy's name, but I knew the guy that he was with. And Kenny was about 4.5 or 5 years older than I was, and he was very nice-looking. And had a very nice black Ford Fairlane, you know,
yeah.
Nice car. And he was actually dating somebody at the time, but she wasn't with him. And so him and this guy, I was with Margie Hagerman, and they came over to our car, and we were sitting there talking and stuff. And one thing led to another, and we were out there. Then the next night, it was on a Sunday. And everybody decided to go roller skating out at Burdette Park, which was a park out on the far west side. And they had a roller rink that had this huge building, and it was a wood floor.
Mm-hmm.
We all went roller skating all the time. So we all met out there. When you roller skated, they would sometimes have a couples skate.
Yeah.
And so you would have a partner, and they'd turn the lights down or something. Well, I remember Kenny come over and asked me to skate. And of course, your heart kind of goes thumping, thump, 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 you know.
Yeah.
He's tall and nice looking. And so I skated. And then he started calling, and he broke up with a girl that he was dating. And we didn't date even a year. It wasn't even a year because we got married then in 69.
Oh, wow. So fast.
Yeah. I graduated in June of 68. We got married in July of 69.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was your wedding like?
I grew up at a church that my Grandma Davis was a charter member of. She was one of the 13 first members of this church, and it was a big Pentecostal church, and all my aunts and uncles went there. But, of course, Dad couldn't afford to buy me a wedding dress, you know, but I had an aunt. Aunt Mary had a really pretty dress, and she told me I could wear hers, and so I did. But we had a big wedding. My sister was in it, and my brothers, and a couple of our friends, and Kenny's cousins from Carmi, a couple of them were in it. I think we had like four maybe bridesmaids and groomsmen. But back then, you didn't have the big receptions like what they have now, the dances and all of that. We had, there at the church, there was a reception hall that they had, and we had cake and punch. But that was what you did back then, you know. There was no way that there would ever be alcohol or anything like that
at a reception.
No, my mother would have had a fit. But it was very nice. Yeah.
And then you two had two children together. Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you had each of them? And
let's see. We got married in July of 69. Brian was born in August of 70.
Okay.
All I ever wanted to do when I graduated, I didn't want to go to college. Of course, couldn't have went anyway. But all I wanted to do was get married and have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And God blessed me with two. I had Brian in August of 70 and then Jenny in October of 73.
All right. Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you had them then?
I was 20.
20?
Yeah. I graduated 2 weeks before I turned 18. And then I turned 19 on the 28th of June. And Kenny and I got married on the 11th of July.
Wow.
So 2 weeks after I
graduated.
Yeah. So I was 20 when I had Brian. And I was 23 when I had Jenny.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And could you tell the story of each of their births?
Well, Brian, of course, back then they didn't have all this medical technology. And I was due in July with Brian and kept going to the doctor. And I gained like 50 pounds. I was small back then. I probably only weighed 95 pounds when Kenny and I got married.
Oh, my goodness.
But I was just small boned and petite. But I gained 50 pounds with Brian, and I was just huge. And I'd go to bed at night thinking, tonight's the night. You know, tonight's the night. And I kept going back to the doctor, and so it was the end of July, and then it was the first week in August. And so finally, they did an ultrasound, because back then they didn't have all this new technology that they have today. But they did this ultrasound, but they didn't like to do that kind of stuff because of the x-rays and stuff. And so anyway, they did this test, and it showed that my pelvic measurements were so small that I never dropped or dilated or anything.
Oh my gosh.
So he was due the 26th of July, and they finally took him cesarean the 21st of August.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So no wonder you're... Yeah.
I just knew I was going to be pregnant all my life. You know, it just never... And so I never had a labor pain, never had anything. So then with Jenny, I was at home chasing a little one, and I think I only gained like 10 pounds with her.
Probably.
But then they scheduled her 2 weeks early with a cesarean because they didn't want me to go. Because he said back in the olden days, when women went into childbirth like that and couldn't deliver, it would have killed the baby and the mother, you know. So God was good and watched over me again.
Yeah. And do you have any stories that stick out from when your kids were little, or just funny parenting stories?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you do, yeah.
Yeah. One, Brian was a little stinker, but the cutest little stinker. He was actually, of course, you know him today. He had blonde hair when he was little.
Really?
And when he was born, he had blue eyes. And when he was about two, his eyes turned brown, and then he got darker headed. But I was pregnant with Jenny, and the house that we live in now was real small because we had built on later in years. But we only had two. It was like you walked in the front door and had a living room and a hallway, a bathroom, and two bedrooms, and then the kitchen, and then this huge backyard. And there was a wall but in the kitchen, and on the other side of the wall was my washer and my hot water heater. Well, I decided I was going to paint the kitchen. And so he had gone down for a nap, and so I was trying to get it finished up, and he woke up, and I went in and got him up. And so he was playing with some little cars in the kitchen, and I got up on the ladder and was leaning over on that hot water heater to reach back, you know, to get behind it. And he decided to move the ladder.
Oh.
Well, here I am pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning up and I said, Brian, move that ladder back. Mm-mm. I said, Brian, you have to move that ladder back so I can get down. I don't want to fall. I don't want to jump off of here.
Yeah.
Do you want me to get hurt? No. I said, then move the ladder back. So I think I finally bribed him. He could have a candy bar or I'd get something or something. And then finally he moved it back and I got down and he got a spanking. And I thought, you little snot, why did you do that? You know. But he was a good kid. He always liked to play with these little toy trucks and cars and stuff on the floor and stuff. But
yeah.
And Jenny was, remember one time when she was little. She probably wasn't even a month old. And I had her in her crib and was in the living room. And he came walking through the living room with her in his arms. And they shared a bedroom because we only had two bedrooms. So yeah. She was in a baby bed and he had a little bed, a twin bed. And he had climbed up and got her out of that crib.
Oh, my gosh.
And walked in the living room with her like this and said, she needs her mother, you know. Oh. And thinking,
you're like,
yeah. And I was like, oh, how did you get her out of that bed?
How did he do that?
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh. But, that is funny.
Yeah.
And what lesson would you say that you stressed the most to your kids when they were growing up?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there were so many things that you... But the most, I think, would be just to love one another and to always be there for one another. And, of course, that doesn't always happen when you get older. Things change. But they were good kids. They were good kids. Mm-hmm. Had lots of good times, that's for sure.
Yeah. And what would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Just being able to have the children, I guess, you know. The love that you get from them is something that until you are a mother and have had children, you'll just never know what that love is like.
Mm-hmm.
Because my kids are my life.
Mm-hmm.
My kids and my grandkids. I don't know what I'd do without them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have any parenting advice for parents in today's world?
You know, I think things are different, but Brian and Allie are such good parents, and Jenny and Eric are such good parents that I feel like I did something right, you know, because they've just always been there for their kids, and just to love them, let them be their own person, you know. Everybody's different. It's okay to disagree. Everybody has their own thoughts sometimes, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay to do that. But just communicate and talk and love one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking back at your time as like a young mother, what would the Rhonda of today tell herself as a young wife and mother?
Oh, I don't know that I would do anything different. You know, I don't feel like I was super strict with my kids, but yet they behaved well when I took them places. You know, I think today you see some kids that just run and romp and do anything or in somebody else's home, and that wasn't allowed. You know, my kids knew better than, and I didn't, like if I had stuff sitting out on the coffee table or on the end tables and stuff, I didn't put it away. No. I smacked their hands and told them no, you know, and didn't have to worry about going to somebody else's house and them hurting anything or breaking something, you know. So I don't know that I would do anything any different.
Yeah.
To, you know, just love them and teach them what's right and wrong, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I know you were married to Kenny. When did you two get a divorce?
We were divorced in 1975.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, you got remarried, right?
I married Terry.
So how did you meet your current husband, Terry?
Terry's 2 years younger than I am. We actually went to grade school together.
Really?
At Teacupple, which is where Brian and Jenny actually went to grade school. Didn't really like him in grade school. I knew him, but really didn't.
Yeah.
But then after Kenny and I divorced, and I don't even remember who it was that I went to a ball game with, but Terry was playing fast pitch. And we got to talking, and I had the kids with me, and he had seen the kids, and he had never been married and didn't have any kids at the time. and just got to talking, and he asked me out, and we went out, and we just started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got married in 1980. Yeah, okay. I think we probably dated for about a, probably dated maybe 2.5 or 3 years before we got married.
Do you remember what your first date was?
Went to a ball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how did he propose?
I don't think he really did. I think it was just kind of, we had talked about it. I don't remember. He never got down on it at one knee or anything like that and did the actual proposal thing like they do. But there was a jewelry store downtown, Krukemeyer & Kahn, and he had gone down there. And he didn't buy me a ring. He bought me a diamond, just the diamond itself.
Oh, wow.
And he wrapped it up in tissue paper. And one evening, we were at the house, and we were watching TV, and he went to get something out of his billfold. And whether he forgot it was in there, I don't really remember. But anyway, he got that tissue out that he had folded up. And he said, here, he said, this is for you. And so he said, be careful when you unwrap it. And so I unwrapped it, and it was a diamond. So he let me pick out then the mount to put the diamond in.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've never heard of that before.
I had neither.
It's funny, though. Oh, man.
So maybe he could only afford the diamond.
Maybe. Or maybe he was trying to let you just pick out your own style. That's funny.
Yeah.
So then what was your wedding like, and when was it?
We got married in May the 23rd of 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And just a small little church on the west side of Evansville. Everything's always on the
west side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his sister and my sister were in it. And then two of his good friends, Raymond Webster and Donnie Humston. And it was just a small wedding with my mom and dad and his mom and dad and then our siblings. And then we had a different type of reception this time. And it was out at the Sportsman's Club and had food and a dance and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
if that was in 1980?
In 1980.
Okay, so you two have been married, what, 41?
41.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously that's a very long time.
Yeah.
What would you say is the key has been to that long marriage that you two have had?
Only by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. there were some battles, maybe, or uphills, you know, to climb. Terry drank a little bit too much every now and then and liked to party, so we had some arguments, but I just toughed it out and just prayed a lot. But he's a great guy. Terry tries to be this Mr. Rough, tough.
Yeah.
But you've been around him.
Yeah.
You know, he can be... He is very sweet. He is very kind. He'd give anything to anybody that needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he likes to play Mr. Rough Tough sometimes, but he's really not. He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
I think we're in it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many grandkids do you have?
Seven.
Seven. Could you name them all?
Of course, Brian has... Kennedy is our oldest. And then we have Grace 3 years later. And then in 2001, Jenny had twins, a boy and a girl, Gavin and Hope, in April. And then a year later in July, Brian and Allie had Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year later in September, Jenny had another set of twins, a boy and a girl, and that's Chance and Carly.
Crazy, wow.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Kennedy was your first grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
What went through your mind when you first heard that you were going to be a grandma?
Oh, I was elated. I just couldn't believe it. But what Brian and Allie did, in fact, I think Jenny was in Muncie. Her and a friend had come up to stay with Brian and Allie, I think is the way it went. So she knew it before I did. They came up and went to maybe the Indy race or something. But Terry and I had walked out of the house and we were leaving to go somewhere. And as we pulled out of the driveway, Terry looks back and he said, I think there was a florist van that just pulled in the driveway. And I thought, well, nothing's going on. What was that all about? So we left and of course, then you didn't have cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we went to the grocery and picked up something. Or anyway, we come back. So I called And it was, I had seen the name on the van. It was Idler's, which was a florist in Evansville. And I called and said, gave him my name. And I said, I think somebody must have just tried to make a delivery to my house. And she said, oh, yes, they did. She said, they'll come back. And I said, okay. So they came back. And when they pulled in the driveway, we walked outside. It was nice. We walked outside. And this guy gets out of the van. And he's got this little brown teddy bear with a balloon on it. And he hands it to me, and I said, well, what? I think you must have the wrong address or something. And he said, well, and he looked at the card on it. He said, are you Ron and Terry Love? And I said, yes. And he said, no, that's for you. And like, I was like, well, okay. And so he's getting in the van, and Terry just kind of looks at me and grins. I think he figured it out. And I opened the card, and it said, congratulations, Grandma and Papa. I'll come see me soon in Muncie.
Oh.
And so Brian and Allie had sent us this little teddy bear to tell us that they were pregnant.
Oh, that's such a cute idea.
Oh, it was wonderful. I couldn't wait. Uh-huh. I couldn't wait.
And how old were you at that time?
Well, that was in 96, so I was 46.
Yeah, so you're a young grandma too.
Yeah, I was a young mother and a young grandma.
Oh, it's so fun though.
Oh, lots of fun.
Mm-hmm. And then what is your favorite part about being a grandma?
Just the love that you get from all of them. And being able to buy them anything and everything and spoil them if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I wished Brian and Allie always lived away. And that was hard because I felt like I missed a lot of things with the kids. But I came as much as I could, you know. Of course, there's first stories with Kennedy a lot, but she was going to school and it was Grandparents' Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at the time, and so I was explaining to her that I wasn't going to get to come, but I hope she had a good day, you know, and da-da-da-da-da. So I called her that evening and I said, how was your Grandparents' Day today? It was good. I said, well, was there other little boys and girls that didn't have grandparents there, or were you the only one? She said, oh, Grandma, it was okay. I took your picture.
Oh.
I was just like, oh, that knife right back out of my chest. You know?
Yeah.
But
that's so cute.
Going to Grandparents' Day with them and just being able to bring them stuff. And if I wasn't here on a holiday, I always tried to send them a box. And they pretty much knew they were going to get something.
Mm-hmm. Do any of your grandchildren remind you of you in any way, or of their parents in particular?
I think Hope probably looks like, well, I think Jenny looks just like me, I think, and Brian looks just like his dad.
Okay.
And Luke looks just like Brian.
Yeah.
I think. But Hopi, I think, looks more like Jenny. Therefore, I mean, we've got pictures, and I think she looks a lot like me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Grace is more like Brian than Allie. But I think sometimes I see a little bit of Kennedy in me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, but they're all good kids.
Oh, yeah.
So smart, you know, every one of them. So very blessed.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of random, just life in general type things. Do you have any favorite places that you like to visit, or traveling, or any vacations that stick out to you?
We never really, as a kid growing up, we really never took vacations because Dad couldn't afford it, of course. But my mom's one sister, Rosie and Pa, I was probably at Aunt Rosie and Uncle Pa's house more than I was Mom and Dad's. It was just always very close to her. But they took me on vacation with them several times. I remember a couple of times we went to the Smoky Mountains, you know, and that kind of thing. But we didn't really take a lot of vacations either, probably because we couldn't afford it. But we took Jenny and Brian to Disney World in Florida one year. But I think Brian was probably 15 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, either take him now or he's not going to go to Disney World. But as far as Terry and I, we like Tennessee, down at Pigeon Forge and that kind of stuff. And we've been to Branson, Missouri. But I surprised him and took him to Vegas on our 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, I bet that was a good time.
Yeah, we had a good time then. That was fun. But we like to take little day trips and just do stuff like that more mm-hmm. so than large. But I probably have been on vacation more with the kids. And Terry didn't really like to travel.
Likes to be home.
Yeah. But when Grace played volleyball, we went to Florida. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. We went to Disney then. It was in the Disney. We didn't really go to the park, did we? It was just
I think
in.
We went to Disney because it was Orlando.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When we went to Uncle Denny's and seen Uncle.
Oh, I was not playing volleyball then.
No, that was just a vacation.
Yeah.
And we went to the ball game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I probably. And we went to Atlantis one year with Jenny and Eric and the kids. And I've been to Canada. They have a place up in Canada. I've been up there with them. So I've traveled more than what Terry has.
Yeah.
When Brian and Allie moved to Oklahoma, Kennedy was 6 months old. And I drove out with Allie because Brian was already there. So I drove out with Allie and Kennedy. And then they put me on a plane to come home. And that was horrible.
Yeah.
You would have thought somebody died instead of I was just leaving my kids and grandchild. You know, but Terry had never flown, and he actually agreed to fly when they were out there because he hadn't seen Kennedy for several months. So we did fly out there, but then they moved back, which I was grateful
Thank
for.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
They're only a 3.5-4-hour drive.
Much better than...
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That would have been horrible.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's about the only vacations we've really taken. Mm-hmm. Nothing elaborate.
Yeah. And do you have any, like, best memories or stories of you and your family over the years that stick out?
I mean, any time we were together was special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just having everybody together is all I've ever wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, when did you retire?
Reluctantly. Let's see. I retired in 2013. Terry retired in 2012. And I wasn't really ready to... He worked for the railroad for almost 40 years, and he was just ready to give it up. It had changed a lot. And I was working at the school corporation and loved my job, loved what I did. And he wanted me to retire, and I really wasn't ready. But then they did a change and was going to get rid of one person in our department. And I could have went to a different job within the school corporation, mm-hmm. but just didn't really want to do that change.
No.
So when
yeah.
they made that change, then I decided to retire. So I retired in September 2013.
Okay, and how have you spent your retirement? I know you volunteer.
I volunteer at the cancer center because I thought, what am I going to do every day? You know, mm-hmm. and it was a big adjustment.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For me, of course, I teased Terry and I said, we can't get along for 2 hours. What are we going to do for 8? You know, but it works and, you know, it's okay. But I enjoy more time because I can come up here anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I find stuff to do. I peddle and have a couple girlfriends that, of course, that are retired, and we do stuff. But I volunteer at the cancer center and do that one day a week and stay busy.
Mm-hmm.
Always trying to do something to the house or finding something for him to do that he didn't want to do. So.
Mm-hmm. And going back to the cancer center, what is your favorite part about volunteering there?
Oh, I tell you what, I come away from there a whole lot more blessed than I was when I went in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fortunate that I've never had cancer, and a lot of the volunteers are survivors, are cancer survivors. And just knowing that you've maybe put a smile on somebody's face just for a day, I've always wanted to be needed
mm-hmm.
and to help somebody else. As long if I can help somebody else do something, I'm good. I can have 10,000 things to do at home. But if you need help doing something, I'd rather be there doing that. I'll clean out your cabinets and leave mine go, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But I love doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I stay busy. But the cancer center, you see so much heartache. And, of course, then you lose patients. You know, you see somebody because a lot of times they come the same day every week
mm-hmm.
To take until their treatments are done. And then 1 week you'll go and they're not there, you know, and somebody will say something. And, of course, we don't ask questions. We can't ask. If they want to talk to you, you let them talk. You listen.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to ask them anything mm-hmm. at all. But then you find out that something happened or things went astray and they've lost a patient or something, you know. And that's hard. But you go on and you feel like, well, maybe I made some light shine in their life somewhere along the way, you know. But then 2 years ago, Jenny was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And that was a gut punch.
Yeah.
But, again, God is good. Mm-hmm. And they felt like they caught it early. And she had a lumpectomy. She didn't have to have a mastectomy. And she went through chemo, which was horrible, horrible. And it was during the COVID, and it was just really bad. And then she took radiation, and she's doing great. She's doing great. So we're very, again, God is good.
God is
we're
good.
Very blessed.
Keep praying.
And he's answered, he's answered prayers many a night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I love it. I'm glad that I'm a part of that organization, you know, because I feel like I've done something at least.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're so happy to have you, too.
Well, they you act like it. When the COVID was going on, there was, it, for almost a year, we couldn't go. And we would get little notes and stuff through Facebook from the nurses. Oh, my gosh, we wish you guys were back, because it just makes their job a lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
For them to have to administer the medication, to watch what's going on, plus get them a blanket, get them a pillow, a drink, or a snack or something. So we were glad to be back. We've got little yellow aprons that we wear.
Oh,
has good. Our name tags
yeah.
on them. One of the patients calls me Paula Deen because of my hair, I guess, you know. So when I come in, he doesn't call me Rhonda. Hey, Paula, can you give me a drink?
Yeah.
So, he's funny.
That is funny.
It is funny.
We're going to the final questions now. So these are more of like overarching or bigger category questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, what do you think of the world today?
I think it's in a mess. Sometimes I think God's mad at us and he's trying to shake everybody up and say, look, we can't keep living like this.
Yeah.
This world can't keep going like this. You know, you need to straighten things up. I think people just need to keep their eyes open and just take care of their families, and just political part of it, I don't always understand, and I get aggravated, and sometimes I have to turn the TV off and not even listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary, but I think we just have to keep on track and keep praying and asking God to change it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just the way it is. I mean, it just, it's so different from when I was growing up. I mean, I can remember my mother saying, you know, things are going to happen in this world that you're not going to like, you know, before the end of times. And then you look back and think, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
You know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what event in history had the biggest impact on you?
When Elvis died.
Really? And why was that?
Because I just loved him. I mean, it's crazy because back when I was probably 13 or 14 years, Grace is going to be so embarrassed. When I was 13 or 14 years old, I just knew if he ever met me, he'd fall in love with me and just whisk me off. He just needed to meet me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to sing. I seen him both times that he was in Evansville.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Elvis song?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Probably He Touched Me. I love his gospel music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he just, I mean, back in the, of course, I don't know that you've ever seen any of his old movies or anything. But,
no,
but back in the 60s, probably, when he had Blue Hawaii and G.I. Joes. And I mean, that was his heyday. That was when he was, oh my goodness, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Where were you when you found out that he died, actually?
I was actually at work at Dr. Arendelle's office. I was a receptionist for Dr. Arendelle when I heard that. And just went to pieces. I mean, it was like I was crying and not Elvis.
It's not funny, but it's funny.
He can't die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So as you look back on your life, who are the people who have impacted or influenced you the most, would you say?
I would say my mom and my mom's mom and the Davis family. Aunt Rosie and Uncle Paul were a big part of my life. Mom didn't go to church all the time because Daddy didn't go, but Aunt Rosie and Uncle Paul always went. I always went to church with them.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's, well, Uncle Wayne and Aunt Doris, and Aunt Mac and Aunt Uncle Woody, Aunt Bobby and Uncle Bud, Aunt Rose and Uncle Paul, Aunt Mary and Uncle Merle, they all went to that church. And it's funny because my grandma, like I said, was one of the 13 charter members. And it was a big church, and there was like three sections of pews.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle section, the first aisle that you walk down, the second row back, the corner seat, that was my grandma's seat. That's mm-hmm. where she sat every Sunday. And she was this little short lady, and her hair was real long, but she had it, you know, she braided it.
Yeah.
And had it in a bun with those little pins.
Yeah.
And she sat in that seat every Sunday. And one Sunday we got to church, and they had some visitors that had sat in that seat. And she just kindly asked them to move down when she got there because that was her
seat.
That was her seat. And she didn't think anything of it.
No,
no, that was her seat. She just asked them to move. But probably that the Davis family and the church family and...
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday school teachers and all of that made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you have a favorite time period of your life?
You know, my high school days were fun. We had good kids that we ran around. I mean, I still am friends with a lot of kids that mm-hmm. I went to high school, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we had good times. It was back in the day when you didn't have to worry about all the meanness and stuff, you know. So mm-hmm. I had good childhood memories, yeah.
Yeah. And do you have a worst time in your life?
Probably when I lost my brothers and then when mm-hmm. mom and dad, mm-hmm. you know. Mother had been sick and on oxygen for 6 years before she passed away. And when she first passed away, it was almost like it was a relief.
She wasn't in misery anymore.
Right. I knew where she was,
mm-hmm.
and I knew she wasn't hurting anymore. I knew she had a new body. But then about a year later, of course, we didn't have cell phones back then, but my husband, Terry, would always go hunting with my dad, and I would always check on Mom. And I remember reaching over and that morning and had the phone, and it was ringing, and I couldn't figure out why she wasn't answering. And I was calling to check on her, and she was already gone. Well, I finally had to go for some counseling with our pastor, because that's when it hit me that I wasn't ever going to see her again until that day.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was tough. It was tough. I think she was my best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you regret anything?
You know, I don't really think so. I can't really think of a regret. I don't think so. You know,
it's a good thing then, yeah.
I mean, I'm not perfect by any means, but and I'm sure there's things that I've done that I shouldn't have, or something that I've said to someone that hurt their feelings that I shouldn't have said, but didn't do it intentionally, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to my generation?
Just keep God on your side and do the best you can,
mm-hmm.
and you know, care about others, and don't mean be mean, which you're not. But there's a lot of meanness out there in that yeah. world, and just try to stay on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what do you believe is the most important thing in life?
I think your relationship with God
mm-hmm.
is you know, just pray and just do what's right.
Mm-hmm. We have one more question. What do you hope to be remembered by?
That I'll remember you by your letters.
Oh, I'm sure when that time comes, my kids are just going to have a fit. What Grace is referring to is, and I remember Allie teasing me because I've always been so sentimental and would cry at the drop of a hat. And then one time Kennedy, her arm came out of socket or something, and Allie called me and said, "Oh my God, Rhonda, I know what you're talking about. I'm sitting here bawling because Kennedy's arms are..." But I've always been one that even I could just be cleaning house or doing something at home, and I would sit down and write a letter to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I have notes stuck all over the house. You know, I've stuck them in drawers, and I've put them in books, and I've put them in little vases or whatever. And I said, they'll probably just have an auction company come in and take it all, and they'll never, ever read them all. You know, they'll never find them. But
doubt that.
If they do, they'll have read so many of them, they'll, I'm not reading anymore, you read the next one, you know. But I just sit down and tell them what I'm doing today and how much I love them and that I want them to know that. Mm-hmm. I want, if I can instill into my kids and my grandkids half of the love that my mother gave me, I'll feel like I've done something right. Mm-hmm. And I just want them to know that I may not be there for the rest of their life, but I'll be there for them the rest of mine. And until my last breath, I would do anything for my kids. And I love my Brian's wife, Allie, and Jenny's husband, Eric. I couldn't love them more if I'd have picked them out myself. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And they're wonderful parents. They've instilled that love into their kids, and I know that their kids all feel that. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are raising their grandkids, yeah, because their kids have gone astray. Mm-hmm. And I'm so blessed
that you didn't,
that my kid, I've never had to worry about them. Never. Mm-hmm. Never once.
Yeah.
And that says a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I did something right.
Strong, sentimental, soft-spoken, and selfless, Rhonda Love is all of these things and much, much more. Her life hasn't been easy, but by the grace of God, she has made it through, and it is her relationship with the Lord that is the most important thing in her life. Her family means the world to her, and if they don't know how much she loves them now, they definitely will when they read her letters someday. Rhonda says she's always wanted to be needed, and it is evident that the whole world needs the calm, genuine, and kind Rhonda Love more than she even realizes.
My grandma also loves Elvis.
Yeah, but well, she didn't get to meet him either, did she?
Nope, nope. Well, I definitely think, I mean, I'm just Grace's friend, your grandchild's friend, and I feel the love that you have for your family and the love you've even shown me. And I,
when you came down in my kitchen,
yes,
tore out, and
oh no, that was great,
and took selfies of one another. Terry said, are we ever going to put those phones down and quit taking selfies? That was a fun time. Well, when Grace called and she was going to, wanted to come down, I said, that's fine, I'm going to bring Lexi and Stella. I said, Grace, I don't have a kitchen. I said, my house is tore out. Do you want to bring those phones down? My house is tore out. Grandma, it's okay. And it was. We made do.
Well, you did a great job. I knew you would.
I know you're going to talk to Lexi after I'm gone and say, oh my God, can you come? She's like,
what? No. I told her. The only thing she really made a face at was the Elvis thing.
You just randomly, like, you knew that answer, like, before the question even came.
Isn't it crazy how you think of that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
When there's so many other important things in life that happen, what?
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you. It was good to sit and talk with you.